You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You're listening to the midweek edition. European football returns and some crunch games for some of those British interests involved in Europe, and some games which don't really have anything on them whatsoever. Sam Norris here, joining me in the studio to look ahead to the midweek fixtures is Mr. Dave Kellner. Hello, DK.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Yeah, yourself?
I'm okay. I let the punt treble down this weekend, which is frustrating because it was such a big price. I didn't have a clue what price it was because when I was compiling the treble in our other studio, my computer crashed. So I just said, listeners, work that one out for yourself. And anyone that did, it was a 4-1 shot, a couple of 4-1 shots, in fact.
Right.
And my best bet was Everton at 11-4. Derek landed his with Bournemouth beating Liverpool. Got lucky there, Derek. And Tom had Harry Kane to score 2 or more.
Oh, right.
At 4-1 as well. Very so nice. A couple of good bets from those two chaps, but Alet is down, unfortunately. So,
well, you're in a good company here, DK, with Alex done off last week and Steve elsewhere. The European podcast was left to me, and my nap lost as well. So we're just a couple of losers.
Misery likes company, doesn't it? Misery loves company. So I'm happy about that, Sam.
Indeed. In terms of the Champions League and Europa League this week, then let's look ahead to these midweek fixtures. Then, starting in the Champions League on Tuesday, we begin in Switzerland with Basel welcoming Arsenal. It's 11-5 here for Basel. The draw is 12-5. Arsenal in the betting at 13-10. In terms of qualification, it's all stitched up in this group, with PSG and Arsenal definitely progressing to the latter stages. Still half a chance that Arsenal can win the group, DK. They'd need a bit of a favour from Ludogorets against PSG after Arsenal and PSG drew 2-2 in the last round of fixtures. But despite the fact there's a chance to top the group, are you envisaging changes here for Arsene Wenger?
I think he'll still play a strong team because he does need help from Ludogorets, obviously, and he's in all likelihood not going to get it. Arsenal, usually at this stage in the competition, they're booked for second place already, and they qualify for the knockout stages and then inevitably end up getting knocked
Bayern
out.
Or Barcelona.
Yeah, get a big team. The thing they've got going for them this time is that Real and Bayern aren't doing well in the Champions League this time around, and they're likely to finish second, so they might not have. It might not be terminal for Arsenal if they do qualify in second this time, because some of the top teams have struggled as well.
Although they did last time, they either won the group or finished second and got lucky in inverted commas when they faced Monaco, which was a plum draw in the knockout stages, and managed to find a way to exit the competition anyway. It almost doesn't matter who they draw.
I guess maybe it's a mental block for Arsenal collectively. I think this is a game they'll win, actually, Arsenal. They're 13-10 to win the match. With Basel 11-5, the draw 12-5, so it's quite a tight little betting heat, this one. I think they'll win. They've got a good record against Swiss clubs in the competition. You look at how they've played against teams from Switzerland. They've played teams from Switzerland 5 times previously. They've won them all, scoring 10 times and conceding just once. On the flip side of that, Basel have won their last 3 Champions League home games against English clubs. They beat Manchester United in November 2011, Chelsea in 2013, and Liverpool back in October 2014. I think that draw with PSG, that 2-2 draw, and again, they were really disappointing, has pretty much consigned them to second place in the group. But in the reverse fixture, they were quite impressive at the Emirates. They won that game 2-0 with Alexis Sanchez providing a couple of assists for Theo Walcott. And if Theo Walcott starts this game, I think he's definitely worth a look in the goal scorer markets here. Walcott
9-4 he is to score any time. Theo Walcott 7-1 first or last.
That's fair. And they do have a problem with Arsenal that it's worth mentioning as well, because Hector Bellerin got injured. Mattia Debuchy came in. He's got injured. Yeah. Carl Jenkinson received dogs abuse from the crowd in that EFL Cup fixture with Southampton. That game they lost 2-0. Arsene Wenger dropped him
for his own protection, essentially.
Essentially. And Gabriel came in, and he's an auxiliary because he plays centre back. And
yes,
Arsene Wenger said he brought him in for his heading ability, but basically he just wanted to nudge Jenkinson out.
Yes.
And bring Gabriel in. So I don't know if Jenkinson's going to play in this game, but I see that as a weakness, a weak spot in Arsenal defensively. And you look back through their last four away games as well. They've won three of them, and both teams have scored in those three wins as well. So that's the way I'm leaning here. I like Arsenal to win the game. I think Basel, even though they are 12 points clear at the top of the Swiss Super League, did lose to Young Boys 3-1 at the weekend. Arsenal to win and both teams to score, 16-5. I think it's a nice price. I can see them doing some damage going forward, and I still see them a little bit defensively suspect as well. So I'm going Arsenal to win and both teams to score.
Okay, 16-5 then. The price of an Arsenal win and both teams to score in that one. The other fixture then on Tuesday evening sees Manchester City welcome Celtic to the Etihad. It's 4-11 here for City, 4-1 about the draw, and 8-1 for Celtic. This group is even more decided. Regardless of any of the results that happen midweek, Barcelona will be top, Manchester City will be second, Borussia Mönchengladbach will be third, and Celtic will be fourth. So no one can move anywhere in this group. City, as you might expect, are fairly short in the betting at 4-11, but they were given a real scare by Celtic north of the border. That one finishing 3-3, which is very much seen as a positive point from a Celtic point of view. Back at the Etihad, are you expecting better from City, or can they be given a big game again?
I think it might be tight again. I mean, I say tight, I use that term loosely, because
right.
The first game finished 3-3. It was anything but tight.
Yes.
It was helter-skelter. Great match to watch. Mm. And Celtic took the lead three times, were pegged back on all three occasions. All the scoring came in the first hour as well. I think Sergio Aguero will probably play now, whereas if he hadn't chopped down David Luiz at the weekend, he might have been rested for this fixture.
Yes.
Now he's got Christmas off and he won't return until the new year. Pep Guardiola might as well roll him out here, in all honesty. So I think that challenge on Luiz was a negative for Celtic in many ways, because Aguero will likely, or in all likelihood, will start this fixture now. And I thought Kelechi Iheanacho would have been given a chance had Aguero not scythed down David Luiz at the weekend in what was a ludicrous challenge, really.
Bit of an assault, really.
He was just frustrated, wasn't he, because of what happened in the first half where David Luiz
shoved,
he body checked him, and he should have been probably sent off, actually, because he denied Sergio Aguero a clear goal-scoring opportunity and made no play on the ball.
Yeah.
That's the way I saw it.
Right.
Did the referee even give a free kick? I was watching it briefly because I was on the shop service on Saturday morning.
I didn't catch the game myself. I don't think he did give a free kick, though. I was watching replays of it this morning. But it was, regardless of what happened there, it was an uncharacteristic overreaction from Sergio Aguero. A really, really bad tackle.
They've got history, haven't they?
Yes.
Aguero and David Luiz. I think anyone else, and David Luiz is coming across at that moment in the game, and Sergio Aguero, discretion would be the better part of valour, and he would have pulled back from that challenge. But with David Luiz, he thought, let's just stick one on him here.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't anywhere near as bad as the Roy Keane challenge on Alfie Inge Haaland those years ago. But it was a similar sort of challenge in the fact that he wanted to hurt David Luiz, didn't he, basically?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think the reaction from the Chelsea players was fully justified. And Aguero misses those four fixtures now in the Premier League, which is good news for the likes of Arsenal, Watford, Leicester and Hull, because those are the four games that he's going to be suspended for. Bad news for Celtic here. Celtic, you said it was a good point, which it was a good point against City. But you look at their Champions League record away from home, they've lost 26 of their 29 Champions League away games and have never ever kept a clean sheet in those games either. They're without a win in their last eight in the Champions League, which is their longest run without a victory in the competition ever. They've also failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 18 Champions League games. They are 8 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership, and they've got three games in hand over both Hearts and Rangers. But you see from some of their matches in the Scottish Premiership as well, like that one at the weekend, they were 3-2 behind against Motherwell and came back and won that game 4-3. They can't defend solidly in the Scottish Premiership. You transfer that sort of defending into the Champions League, that's why they concede lots and lots of goals in the competition. So I think they'll concede a few here as well. I like over 3.5 goals. I don't think it's a massive price. I know it's not a massive price. I saw it earlier.
21-20.
Yeah, I think odds against just about tempts me in over 3.5 goals. And I think Celtic will score. I like match result and both teams to score. Manchester City at 8-5. We saw Chelsea at the weekend shred them on the counter-attack. Mm. Even though Man City, I thought they played well for half anyway. From what I read, they played well for a half anyway. And I think they still are susceptible on the counter-attack. And that's where Moussa Dembele does his best work, yes, because he's so quick. So I like Man City to win and both teams to score 8-5.
Okay, a City win and both teams to score, then the selection for Dave at 8-5. Or do look at the over 3.5 as well, which is 21-20. On to Wednesday night's fixtures then. We begin at Wembley, where Spurs will welcome CSKA Moscow. It's 8-15 here for Spurs, 3-1 the draw, 6-1 for CSKA. Neither side can qualify for the next stage of the competition. So this is very much a Europa League shootout, if you like. Spurs beat CSKA in Russia in what is the only bright spot on what has been a pretty dismal European campaign for them this season. Is there going to be a slight element of them not wanting to qualify for the Europa League with this one? They're currently third, so a point would suffice. But I kind of get the impression they don't really want that Europa League spot.
I don't think they do at all. I don't think Mauricio Pochettino does, because we've seen how it's affected Southampton and Manchester United this season. I couldn't believe it when I was recording the punt at the weekend, and we previewed West Brom versus Watford.
Yeah.
And Tom said, it's amazing to think West Brom and Watford are both ahead of Southampton in the Premier League. And I had to check.
Yeah,
I thought he was lying to me, because we know Southampton are a good side, but they were beaten by Crystal Palace 3-0 at the weekend, and Manchester United have obviously seriously underperformed in the, yes, Premier League as well, having drawn 6 of their last 8 in the competition, and it eventually caught up with Tottenham last year playing in the Europa League, and I think he thinks that if they hadn't have had that Europa League campaign, they might have been able to
win the league,
win the title. So will he want to qualify for the Europa League? I don't think he will. Playing at Wembley's obviously been a major negative for Spurs as well, rather than the positive. They've lost both their Champions League home games at Wembley this season, whereas when they were in the competition back when Gareth Bale and Luka Modric were there in 2010-2011, they won all 3 of their group games when they played at White Hart Lane. So I'm not saying the reason they've gone out of the Champions League is because they've played the home games at Wembley, but I don't think it's helped.
It's been a hindrance more than a help, certainly.
Definitely, definitely. The good news is they're playing a CSKA side that haven't won a game in the Champions League this season. They've only won one of their last 11 Champions League home games, and it was against PSV in September 2015. So CSKA, they've not kept a clean sheet in their last 27 in the Champions League. Away from home, they've been dismal. Lost 10 of their last 12 Champions League games. And they've also lost their final Champions League group game in each of the 3 previous appearances in the competition. So they've got a good opponent here. But does he want to even get a point, Mauricio Pochettino? Will that have a negative impact on the players? I think it could. And I look at these prices, and he might make wholesale changes, Pochettino, for this game. And you're talking about Spurs being 8-15 to win the match. I think it's miles too short. I'm going to go with CSKA Moscow plus 1 at 29-20. Tottenham only need a point at the end of the day, so even if they do want to qualify for the Europa League, a point's good enough. That gives you the Moscow win or the draw, and it's odds against, good odds against as well, 29-20. So I like that. CSKA Moscow plus 1.
Yeah, CSKA plus a goal there. I do think it's a very, very difficult game to bet on that, given that, as we mentioned, Spurs might not exactly want that Europa League spot.
I think you've just got to wait for team news.
Yeah.
Because I imagine in the hour leading up to the kickoff, there'll be major market moves on all the Champions League and Europa League games. We've talked about Man City versus Celtic and how you're thinking that Man City having qualified in second, Celtic bottom of the group, Celtic playing for pride. Man City might not put out a strong side at all in that fixture, and that might alter the prices considerably. So you've got to wait in these last group games for team news.
Yeah. Must. Absolutely. The final Champions League game then that we'll preview on this week's edition of the podcast is Porto versus Leicester. This is another Wednesday night game. Porto are in the betting at 1-3. The draw here 4-1. Leicester are in the betting at 10-1. Leicester have already qualified top of this group. Much has been made this season, DK, about their Premier League form failing to live up to what they've done in Europe. They have had obviously an easy group on paper in Europe. Still had to go and win those matches. Take nothing away from them. They're safely into the next round, top of the group. Porto need a point to guarantee their progression in the tournament. Despite the fact that the impetus is on Porto here, 1-3 and 10-1. Are those the right prices in your mind?
I think 10-1 is big, isn't it?
Massive,
On Leicester City. Again, Claudio Ranieri might make changes for this game.
Because they are going to have to focus on the Premier League eventually.
They are. Well, they're 15th in the Premier League now. And I think the big difference has just been Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy not linking up this season. You look at how they performed in last season's campaign. I'm talking about the league here. Leicester City, after 14 games, this stat comes from at Omar Chajori on Twitter. And 2015-16 season, conceded 21 at this stage of the season. They were in second place in the league.
Yes.
This season, they've conceded 24, but they're 15th in the league, in the Premier League. And that's down to Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez not playing well. And their play last season masked their defensive deficiencies. This season, with Vardy not scoring, he's only got one in his last 20, and that came in that friendly with Spain.
Yes,
when they drew 2-2 England. And he's not scored for Leicester since the start of September, Jamie Vardy. And I think it's just regression to the mean with Jamie Vardy. He performed so far above himself last season. You don't usually get it in yearly cycles, but performed so well last season. This season, he's performed slightly worse than. He's just regressing to the mean. This is how good Vardy is, basically.
Yeah.
He's a one-season wonder, Jamie Vardy.
Which sort of makes, to me, it's not specifically related to this game. It just makes me question the decision for him not to go to Arsenal. He must have had so much self-belief that he was going to replicate what he did last year again. There was absolutely no way he was going to do that.
I think he's settled and happy.
Yeah,
getting paid with Leicester City. Said he never wanted to move to London. Didn't want to live there. It's just a personal choice. I don't think he wants to. I'm sure he wants to win titles and trophies down the line. But yeah, like you said, I think he thought he could maybe do it with Leicester City, and he's settled. Yeah. And happy. And it's just personal choice, I suppose, there.
Maybe we sort of just believe that all footballers want more money and more stuff. Maybe some of them just are happy. I'm doing a disservice to Jamie Vardy.
I think so. I can see this being quite defensive, this game. Right. You look at Leicester City's defence in the tournament so far. They've conceded just once. And that came in that 2-1 win against Club Brugge. That's the joint best defensive record in the Champions League this season, along with Atletico Madrid, who've only conceded once as well. Porto's games have produced the joint fewest goals in this season's Champions League alongside Copenhagen. And you look at Porto, they've been incredible in the league defensively. They've only conceded one goal in their last 10, Porto, in all competitions, which is really incredible, really solid. I do think Porto will maybe just edge the game, but I'm with you. I think the betting's so lopsided that you'd have to have a few quid on Leicester at 10-1. But I suppose the professional bet would be Porto to win this game 2-0 because their desire is greater here. At 17-20 it is for Porto to win the match 2-0. And if you're looking for a goal scorer in this game, I'd look at Andre Silva. He is 5-6 to score any time. He's been directly involved in three quarters of Porto's goals this season in the Champions League. Scored twice, two of their four, and assisted one of the others. So I'd be looking at Andre Silva. I'd maybe go first goal there because any time's so short at 5-6, and I do expect this to be low on the goals. So I'll go 11-4 for him to score any time. And I think given that Porto to win 2-0 is so short at 17-20. I like under 1.5 goals a lot at 3-1. And I think under 2.5 goals is absolutely standout at even money. I see this being a very, very tight affair. So play low on the goals.
Yeah, I like the unders in that one as well. Dave's choice then for the Porto versus Leicester match. We'll move on to Thursday night's football then. Europa League action here. We start with Manchester United's trip to the Ukraine to face Zoya. Zoya in the betting here at 9-1. It's 19-5 for the draw. Manchester United are in the betting at 4-11. Zoya already out of the competition, bottom of the table. They've obviously got a whole host of problems surrounding the club. It's a real achievement that they've been able to get to the Europa League anyway. Obviously, can't play in their home setting, if you like. They've had to play on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Can't go back for 7 or 8 years or something like that. They're out of the competition, but Manchester United need to go here and get a point. They're 4-11 in the betting. We saw again at the weekend, Dave, and United fans will get sick of hearing this. They dominated the game. They were the better team. Marouane Fellaini came on and undid all the good work. And it's 2 points dropped in that they've only come away with a draw in a game where they should have won. And this has been the case time and time again this season. Mourinho's definitely lost a bit of his sparkle, which was perhaps fading away last season at Chelsea as well. But I'm always reluctant to trust Man United, despite the fact they're going up against the not the whipping boys of the group, but a side who've only taken 2 points this campaign.
Yeah, and you mentioned that inability to close out games or intimated at that. And no other team in the Premier League have let more points slip in the final 10 minutes than Manchester United this season. And as I mentioned earlier, 6 of their last 8 games in the league they've drawn now. And they invite it on themselves. I mentioned this on the podcast the week before last when we were previewing Champions League football and Europa League football, and said he gets too negative, Jose Mourinho. He makes negative substitutions. They drop deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what happened on Sunday against Everton, a game they were fully in control of. And he made substitutions to, in inverted commas, solidify the back four and protect that one goal lead. And it backfired. And it's backfired too many times so far this season. And just strange decisions, just inviting that pressure. And they're so short in the market here, Manchester United. I couldn't back them at these sort of prices. I think 4-11 is criminally short. As you mentioned, it is tough for Zoria because they have to play their games in Odessa, which isn't ideal. So but it's still more of a home game for Zoria than it is for Manchester United.
Yeah.
And 4-11 is really short. You look at how they've performed in Europe away from home in recent times. They've lost 8 of their last 9 away games in Europe.
Right.
And a draw is good enough for Manchester United here. I think that's a value. I think 19-5 for the draw. They need that point. I think they'll get that point. And I like the 19-5.
Okay, 19-5 about a draw in the game then. Zoya versus Manchester United. It's been a profitable one if you've been playing draw in Manchester United games of late, as Dave rightly pointed out there. And that would be enough to see United progress to the next stage of the competition, which I think they probably badly need. We'll move on to the final game then in the Europa League. This is Southampton, who welcome Hapoel Be'er Sheva to the St Mary's. It's 4-9 here for Southampton, 7-2 the draw, and Hapoel are in the betting at 7-1. The permutations here, Dave, which I didn't know myself, you informed me before we recorded the podcast, a win or a 0-0 draw will suffice for Southampton. A score draw would mean they lose out to their opponents, Hapoel, on the head-to-head record. I know it's the Israeli league, and we have to take league form with a pinch of salt, but I've just had a quick glance at their recent form in Israel, Hapoel. They've won their last 8 games in the league by a combined scoreline of 29-2. So to say they're coming into this one full of confidence would be a bit of an understatement. It hasn't been quite that profitable for Southampton in the Premier League, but worthy favourites here.
Yeah, I think they'll win. I know that they have got that good record, Hapoel Be'er Sheva, in the Israeli Premier League, but this is a different task entirely. And like I mentioned earlier, I can't believe how badly Southampton have done in the league. I keep thinking they're a good side. They're a very good side. They're a top 8 side, at least, Southampton, when I see them play. But on the road, they've been poor. At home is where they've excelled, Southampton, this season. And I think they'll get the job done here. I know they got beat 3-0 by Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park at the weekend, but that was away from home. Their form at home is very solid. In their last 16 matches at St Mary's, they've lost just once, and they've kept a clean sheet in 6 of their last 9 at home too. So I think Southampton will win, and I think they'll keep a clean sheet in this game. The man that I like when he's at home is Charlie Austin to score. He's 6-5 to score any time. He's got 6 in his last 6 at St Mary's, Charlie Austin. And I reckon this will be very tight. The reverse fixture was 0-0 in Hapoel Be'er Sheva in Israel. And Southampton, given that home record I just mentioned and their ability to defend solidly, I still think that Virgil van Dijk and Jose Font are two of the best centre-backs in the Premier League. And that combination have been successful at home. Mm. So I see them keeping Hapoel Be'er Sheva at bay here. There's one market that I really like, and it's in the player scorer markets. I think that's what it's called. Let me just scroll up. Scorer match
scorer
specials.
Scorer match specials, right?
Yeah. And you scroll down, and it's Charlie Austin to score, Southampton to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1. So that gives you 3 score lines with Charlie Austin, who I've already made mention of. And I think 4-1 is a big, big price. Southampton, I don't think we'll blow them away, but it'll be a professional job done scoreline for Southampton. I think that's a great offer. Charlie Austin to score, Southampton to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1. I love that 4-1.
Okay, 4-1 then, Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 in the anytime scorecast group betting. Do you have anything in mind for a best bet of the midweek, Dave?
That's it. That's the one. Yeah, 4-1. I love that. Austin to score, Southampton 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1.
Saving the best till last. Thank you very much then for joining me, Dave, and enjoy the football midweek.
Thank you, Sam.
And be sure to tune into William Hill's In-Play Radio throughout midweek, where we'll have all of these games covered in full with all the in-play betting angles. And do listen to the rest of the William Hill podcast. You can find them on the Audio Boom page or via the William Hill website at news.williamhill.com. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Punt, and I hope you enjoy your betting midweek.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.